Today we're building the formula for a 90s-inspired dark bass line in Ableton Live 12, the kind of thing that sits in jungle, old-school DNB, and those grimy text-a-cleaning rollers. And right away, I want you to think of this less like design a bass sound and more like build a relationship between the sub, the midrange, the rhythm, and the space around the drums. That's the real secret here. In classic dark DNB, the bass line can look simple on the piano roll, but it's doing a lot of work. The sub has to stay solid and mono. The mid layer has to carry the attitude, and the rhythm has to leave enough room for the breakbeat to breathe. If you overcook any one of those, the vibe falls apart fast. So in this lesson, we're going to build a two-part bass system in Ableton Live 12 using stock devices, and we'll shape it so it feels heavy, controlled, gritty, and DJ-friendly. We're aiming for that old-school darkness around 172 BPM, where the groove hits hard, but still feels spacious and functional. First thing, set the project tempo to 172 BPM. That's a sweet spot for this style. Fast enough to push, but not so fast that the bass and break become a blur. Then get your drum foundation in place before you even think about the bass. Load in a chopped breakbeat, or program a break on an audio track, and keep the kick and snare as your main anchors. A simple hat or ride on the offbeats can help too, but don't clutter it up. This is important. The bass line must be judged in context. In jungle and dark DNB, the bass is not a solo instrument. It's reacting to the break. So if your bass is landing on every drum hit, you're probably overcrowding the groove. Plan for space. Plan for rests. Let the snare tails and ghost notes live. Now let's build the sub. Create a MIDI track and load operator. This is going to be your pure low-end foundation. Set oscillator to sine, and turn off the other oscillators you don't need. Keep the amp envelope tight. Attack at 0 to a few milliseconds. A short decay if you want a little movement. Moderate sustain depending on note length. And a release that doesn't smear the groove. Write a simple root note pattern first. Don't get fancy yet. Keep the range narrow. Something like D1 to F1, or E1 to G1. Depending on your track's key. Old-school darkness usually works best when the sub line is small in range but strong in rhythm. Why this works? The sine sub gives you authority without phase mess. It stays mono, it stays stable, and it gives the breakbeat a clean foundation. That's exactly what you want in a genre where the drums need to punch through. After operator, add saturator. Keep it subtle. A little drive, soft clip-on, and only a small wet amount. We are not trying to destroy the sub. We're just adding enough harmonic content so it translates on smaller speakers. That's one of the key lessons here. The sub should feel clean, but it shouldn't be invisible. Now for the mid-bass layer. This is where the personality lives. Create a second MIDI track and load Waveedable if you want more evolving movement, or analog if you want a more straightforward vintage Reese character. For a dark 90s-inspired feel, I'd keep this controlled rather than super wide or hyper polished. Start with two saws, slightly detuned. Keep the unison low, maybe two voices max. Use a low pass filter and keep the cutoff somewhere in a dark range, depending on how much bite you want. Then add a slow LFO to the filter cutoff so the tone has a little breathing motion. You can also lightly modulate fine pitch or waveable position if you want a slightly twitchier, unstable edge. This layer should not carry the sub. Think of it as your low mid speaker. It provides grit, tone, and movement above the bottom end. That low-mid speak zone, roughly around 150 to 500 Hz, is where a lot of the character lives. If that area is too polite, the bass won't feel dark. If it's too crowded, everything turns to fog. So we want shape, not mush. If you want more width, be careful. Old-school darkness usually works best when the core bass stays centered. You can add a tiny bit of chorus ensemble or echo on the mid layer, but use it sparingly. Better yet, build the stereo illusion with discipline and keep checking mono compatibility. Now let's organize the bass properly. Keep the sub and mid on separate tracks, then route both to a dedicated bass bus. On that bass bus, use utility if you need to control width, especially on anything high up in the harmonics. EQ 8 and high pass the mid layer around 80 to 120 Hz so it doesn't fight the sub. Then, if needed, add a very light glue compressor and maybe a little saturator or drum bus for shared attitude. Don't overcompress this. DNB bass needs punch and motion, not flatness. The groove should still breathe. And here's an advanced point that matters a lot. Check the phase relationship between the sub and the mid layer. If the bass suddenly feels thin when both are playing together, they may be canceling each other out. Try nudging one layer slightly, or flip polarity with utility on one track and compare. Sub and Reese layers should reinforce each other, not fight. Now we get to the actual formula, the phrase. In this style, rhythm comes before notes. That's the mindset. A strong dark bass line usually follows a pattern like this. Short note, rest, answer note, longer note or slide, space for the drum response. Repeat with variation. So build a 2-bar MIDI loop using mostly short notes, maybe one longer note for tension, and at least a couple of deliberate rests. Don't be afraid of silence. Silence is part of the groove. It gives the breakbeat room to talk. A solid old-school pattern might hit the root on beat 1, then drop a short stab on the offbeat, then hold or answer near the end of the bar. On the second bar, change the contour slightly, maybe move to the 5th, or the flat 7th, or just alter the rhythm so it feels like the bass is speaking back to the drums. Keep the note lengths mostly tight, around 8¼. Use velocity variation too. You don't want every note hitting like a machine gun. A little variation helps the bass feel alive. And if you're leaning more jungle than roller, let the phrase feel more conversational, more call and response. If you're leaning more roller, keep it repetitive and hypnotic. One very useful teacher tip here. Let the break dictate the bass contour. If the snare pattern is busy, simplify the bass. If the break is sparse, you can get away with a more active bass rhythm. The best old-school DNB drops feel like the drums and bass are talking to each other. Next, let's shape the movement. The dark bass becomes memorable when it evolves. Don't just add more notes. Add motion to the sound itself. Automate the filter cutoff on the mid-bass between a darker position and a more open position. Bring in a little resonance if you want a more vocal, biting tone. You can also automate a tune or wavetable position in the lead-up to a switch. If you want extra edge, try a parallel dirty channel. Send the mid layer to a return track and process it with saturator, redux, or drum bus. Then blend that back in underneath the main tone. That gives you menace without wrecking the main patch. This is where resampling becomes really powerful. Solo the bass bus. Record it to a new audio track, and chop out the best bits. Use those hits, tails, and growls as fills, pickup notes, or transition material. That's a classic DNB workflow, and it helps you turn a basic formula into a track-specific weapon. It also gives you those imperfect tails and gritty artifacts that sound authentic in jungle and older DNB. Now, make the bass lock with the drums. Use clip editing and manual nudging if needed. If a bass note is colliding with a kick transient, trim the start a little. If a note should feel like it rolls behind the snare, let it begin just after the snare hits. That tiny timing choice can completely change the feel. Keep the bass slightly more rigid than the drums unless you specifically want a looser jungle feel. And don't forget the drums themselves. A little drum bus on the break group can help, but keep it light. You want the break to stay punchy and alive, not crushed into a flat loop. At this stage, you should be thinking about arrangement too, because a dark bass line needs movement across the track. It can't just sit there looping and changed forever. Use automation to open the filter a bit in the last 2 bars before a drop. Trip the bass down to sub only for a beat or a bar before the main section hits. Drop out the mid bass on a key snare fill. Bring in a reverse reverb or a noise swell made from bass material rather than generic risers. That last part is a nice underground trick. Use bass-derived transitions, reversed bass tails, chopped sub-hits, filtered Reese fragments, and resampled stabs all keep the arrangement stylistically cohesive. And here's a really important check. Listen at low volume. A proper jungle or dark roller bass should still read clearly when the monitoring level drops. If it disappears, too much of the identity is living in the high end. That usually means the patch is not grounded enough in the low-mid speak zone. A few common mistakes to watch out for. Making the bass too wide, overlapping every bass note with every drum hit, over-distorting the sub, over-complicating the synth patch, letting the low mids pile up, and writing notes first instead of rhythm first. If you remember nothing else, remember this. Phrasing is the hook. For a darker, heavier result, try these kinds of variations. Add ghost sub answer notes a semitone or tone below the main root at the end of a phrase, but keep them very quiet so they feel like unstable shadows. Or use two-speed phrasing. A slow 2-bar foundation, with a faster 1-bar flicker layer that only appears on certain repeats. You can also lean on minor mode ambiguity using root, flat 7, flat 5, and minor 3rd. That keeps the harmony dark, without sounding too melodic. Another great move is half-bar dropouts. Mute the mid-bass briefly while leaving the sub or a tail effect active. That little absence makes the return hit harder than adding more notes ever could. For your practice, here is the challenge. Set a timer for 15 minutes, work at 172 BPM, program a chopped break, build the monosign sub and operator, Build a detuned mid-bass in Wavitable or analog, write a 2-bar bass line using no more than 3 notes, include at least 2 rests per bar, high-pass the mid around 100 Hz, add some light saturation, automate one filter movement, then resample the bass and cut one transition hit from it. The goal is simple: make the bass line feel like it locks with the break, not just sits under it. So to recap, the formula for a 90s-inspired dark TNB bass line in Ableton Live 12 is this. Build a clean mono sub. Add a moving mid-bass layer. Phrase the notes with rests and answers. Keep it locked to the breakbeat. Use filter movement and saturation for character, and then arrange it with tension and release so it evolves across the track. If the bass is heavy, clear, and rhythmically smart, it'll instantly feel like real jungle or old-school DNB darkness. And once you get this relationship right, that's when the drop starts to breathe with authority.